Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
23-year-old Florida man who ran away from a mental health clinic on Sunday was critically wounded in a police shooting because officers encountered the guy armed with pepper spray and a knife. They said that health clinic said he was acting erratic and he was running away. He apparently had some serious mental health issues. The clinic said that he was an immediate threat, so officers unfortunately had to engage. But he just apparently ran down the he got tased and still ran. Sounds like there's something else happening there. But he did go to a local hospital and undergo surgery. He's in serious condition. Good heavens. Ran down the road. And they had to chase him. Ran even after being tased. One Florida man decided to play hide and seek with police. And he decided to hide out in a clothes dryer. They always will find you. Escambia County, they were searching police for 31-year-old David Jerome Jackson for 2 months. They got a tip that he was inside this Pensacola house, and they found him inside a tiny dryer drum. And I mean tiny. It's like a compact dryer. I literally have no idea how this guy got into this dryer. If you guys don't see this, I got to put it in Slack. I don't know how in the world this dude got in this dryer. Juan's going to show it. Look how tiny, if you're watching the simulcast, look how tiny that dryer is. It's like a it's like a play dryer. That's like a play dryer. That's a compact dryer. There's a full grown dude who got into that, and they found him in it. And so that's them opening the drawer, and you can see his hands sticking out. That's crazy. So they did get him. They said that he looked very embarrassed and he looked very guilty, but he was arrested on charges of shooting into somebody's house, assault with a deadly weapon, and he's also a convicted felon and he's a prohibited possessor. He's got a violent record, so he wasn't allowed to have anything, but apparently he did. So. Stolen school bus. A Florida man's charged in a wild ride from Tampa to Miami in a stolen school bus. Florida man was arrested in a head-spinning incident that left authorities chasing a stolen school bus. 32-year-old Daniel Saez, under the influence reportedly, commandeered a Hillsborough County School District bus and went on a joyride spanning hundreds of miles. He set off Saturday night. His field trip came to an end when they caught up with him in Sarasota. And he told officers, yes, I am high and drunk. He actually told them that he was high and drunk. I'm not making that up. He told them that when he stole the bus, emphasizing how reckless it was. He went 280 miles in this. And they got him 60 miles south of Tampa. And he got grand theft auto charge. They booked him in jail, sobered him up. And so, good heavens. Thankfully, nobody was hurt or injured or anything like that. That could have been really bad. Good night. You don't want anything like that happening. But good heavens. This Florida man, stripped naked, shouted for grandma in a stranger's home. This is Florida man. The homeowners, officers managed to respond and calm the guy down and escort him out. But what ended up happening is the homeowners, they wanted to remain anonymous, but this guy invaded their house, took off his clothes, shouted incoherently, kept calling out for his grandmother. They called police and the police showed up and they were able to calm him down and arrest him. But, I wish it would have said more what the homeowners were doing. How would you do? Somebody barges in your house and they strip off their clothes and start screaming for their grandmother. That's kind of weird. Tomorrow, cause I'm out of time right now, we got to talk about, a guy accused of sexual battery while wearing an I'm Him t-shirt. Okay. We have pasta fights, pool fights, and more. And then a heroic Florida man who rescued a pet alligator and it was caught on video. So we'll have that for you tomorrow. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. And this is the third generation, not the Gen 3. It's been shipping now. It's a 9mm carbine, and it's easy to store, easy to deploy, super accurate, and it's fun on the range. It's a, 9mm carbine. Previously, with the other iterations, you had to take your optics off, but you do not with the Gen 3 version. No more attaching and reattaching your favorite optics, because with a simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend, The whole thing folds in half, optics and all. It accepts Glock mags, Glock 19s, fit flush, Glock 17, and stick mags with the mag going past the grip, all fits. And redesigned trigger mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull. The action's been updated, easier to rack. Also, the internal buffer means softer recoil. It's just a great carbine for the whole family. And it's made right in America, family-owned, Florida-based values at their best. To learn more about Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. And tell them Dana sent you. How many times y'all, like, you know, you get on an airplane and everybody always wants to get that extra leg room. They like that exit row leg room, right? And you're always asked when you sit in the exit row, like, are you able and willing to assist other passengers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have never, in all of my years of flying, I've never met anyone who's like, no, I'm only going to do me, right? Even if you don't mean it, you say it. I'm not saying that anybody, but you know what I mean? Like, you know. You say it. You're like, yeah, whatever. So that is apparently not what happened in North Carolina at the Charlotte Douglas International Airport. So this was a Frontier Airlines, and there was a passenger that was in the exit row, right? And they ask you, are you ready and willing to comply with exit row instructions, blah, 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 blah. So she gets on the seat. And by the way, can I just point out that when you get on a plane, you know how like when you get on a plane and you haven't even made it to the jet bridge yet. You go into where they're checking your ticket and they scan your pass or your phone or whatever. And they're like, you're sitting in the exit row. Are you willing and able? You have to say yes then before you get on the plane. So they ask you at two different points if you're ready and willing and able to comply. I've never not had that happen. And I've flown multiple airlines. So this lady gets on the plane and she gets into the exit row. And then, of course, you know, you have the flight attendant that asks the same question that you're always asked. Are you ready and willing, etc.? This woman did not answer the way that everyone else did. And it resulted in the entire plane having to be deboarded while she was arrested. Watch if you're watching the simulcast and or listen if you're streaming the radio program to this. She's upset. She don't want to comply. This other lady was begging her to go. The whole plane is saying, please get off. Oh my gosh. She chose violence today. And then the police come. Oh my gosh. The whole plane is begging her. Please, woman, please get off the plane. They're begging her. She ain't having it. And they all have to deplane. They all have to get off that flight. They all have to get off that flight because she's getting arrested. Now, what led up to this? You might be wondering. This is what led up to it. They said that she immediately got on the plane. Because again, remember, when you go through the ticketing part, when you're getting on the plane, they're like, hey, are you ready and willing? Blah, blah, blah. You say yes. Then you're allowed to get on the jet bridge and you go get on the plane. Apparently, right when the attendant came up to her, when they do that last check, and they're saying, are you ready and willing? She said, according to all of the people all around her on the plane, oh, I'm not going to save anybody. If something happens, I'm going to save myself. One of the other ladies on the plane said this was her attitude through the whole process, and I knew something was going to pop off. That's what one of the other women sitting next to her was saying this. And so she said that the flight attendant asked her again because she was apparently shocked. Like, ma'am, are you going to... And the woman said, quote, get out of my damn face, and then proceeded to open up her snack. Oh, my gosh. And then she just wouldn't stop. She said, you better get out of my face is what you need to do, Betty. Oh, boy. So it turned into a whole thing. She said she was flying to take care of her grandson while her mother was on vacation. She goes, my grandson's getting out of school and his mama took a flight to Mexico and I'm not getting off this plane. Well, you are, because you decided to have a fit on the flight. So all of this had to do, and I'm the numerous reporting on this, all of this had to do with a woman who did not, she wanted to sit in the exit row, but she did not want to do what the exit row required. And she could have switched seats. She could have done, and instead she ended up getting arrested because she got belligerent and got into verbal altercations with various flight crew members, as well as other passengers. The entirety of the plane was begging her to get off the flight. People were even trying to get her to switch seats and she wasn't having it. She was there just to raise hell. What do you do with those people? They are not there to solve a problem. They are there to be a problem. They are there to ruin your day. And they had to deplane. They had to get everybody off the plane. There are people who are missing their connections. You are asked before you get on the plane, and then you are asked before takeoff. And someone said, well, is it possible that she didn't understand the instructions? And the witnesses were going, no. Because everybody's on their phones. They're like, no, because her attitude was so bad. You knew she understood. She just didn't want to. She didn't want to go along with it. Wow. And she got mad because they were trying to get her to verbalize her answer, because that's required by law. It's not the attendant's job. You know, the attendant did not make up the law that you had to get a verbal answer. If you don't want to sit in the exit row, don't sit in the exit row. Do you find yourself like wincing whenever you get on a plane anymore because you don't know what you're going to find? I feel like this is peak America sometimes. Not peak America, but peak human culture, peak human nature. Selfish, bratty people who only care about themselves and getting theirs. That's what it feels like. If I'm in an exit row, I don't have a problem because I also know that I'm going to definitely be getting off a bad flight if something happens and I'm in the exit row because I get to control that door. That's a power seat. Why would you not want to be in a power seat? Good heavens. I don't know. Steve, I don't get anxiety, but I find myself not looking forward to boarding a plane ever. Because I never know what I'm going
to
get.
The thing that gets me is, why would you want to be in Group A? Group A, you have to get on first and you have to sit down the entire time. Like, I always am the last person to board. I don't get why people.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
Are you worried about overhead space?
No, I just would rather not be in a tube for as long as I have to be. Why don't I just wait in the terminal or wait at the gate and just eat food?
I like to just like go to sleep, though. So I'll get on the plane and then I will literally go to sleep. I will go to sleep until they make sure that your seatbelt's buckled up, because I got to shut down. I don't want to. It's because it's always so awkward. But I just want to get in, but also it's the overhead space. Although I never bring a ton of stuff with me. I always have like a carry on. And then a little thing that I shove under my seat. But then you get like suit jacket dudes or ladies with the straw hats that want to like shove their stuff in the overhead bin, and then nobody can get their suitcases or anything else up there. And I'm like, ugh, I don't know.
That's the one flaw that I didn't think about, is if you wait to get on last, they sometimes, most of the time, run out of carry-on space. They have to put one of those fake tags on it and sit it by the door. That's happened to me the last few times, but I'd rather just wait.
Yeah, I always, after I had a suitcase that was utterly destroyed by their little system where they bring the suitcases up, because I had a gate check once and it literally crushed my suitcase and broke some stuff inside and all of that. It like crushed it. It was like a pancake. It was wild. And so now I don't do that anymore. But thankfully I was on a flight and I was arriving home, so I didn't need any of the stuff in there really. But yeah, so I make sure that I don't know. But I agree with you. I hate getting on and having to be on the tube, because then you get people like that. That's crazy.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
10 bodies were found scattered around Mexico's once glamorous resort city of Acapulco, which has been engulfed by violence linked to cartel crime, said authorities today. The bodies of two women and four men left Monday night on an avenue near a market, according to their public security office. The media has reported the bodies were thrown from a car. It's a shooting in the Zepeda neighborhood. They said that they've been finding this more and more. And I don't know. You got to make sure you're staying safe and going to the safe spots. This is kind of sad, too. Apparently, Elvis Presley's iconic Graceland is going to be auctioned off amid foreclosure. But his granddaughter, Riley Keough, has been fighting it. She said that the signatures on a lot of the documents were fraudulent. And there's some questions as to whether or not the notary was legitimate. And I don't know. There's a lot of it could have been questionable. But there were also a lot of rumors that Lisa Marie Presley wasn't maybe in her best of mind or health and was making some decisions based on money. And I don't know if there was due diligence done. All that, I'm sure, is going to come out in the lawsuit that Keough's filed to stop it. Because, gosh, that would be bad. This HIV-positive Ohio sex worker had contact with more than 211 people. And she looks like it. Ugh. She had over 200 clients knowing she was HIV-positive. And state officials are now saying that anyone who is with Linda Lachesse needs to come forward and get tested because you might have the HIV. That's horrible. First off, that looks like a Tim Burton character. This cycling is supposed to apparently improve your knee pain or arthritis. People have been told to keep their joints moving. Now bicycling. I hate bicycling. Can I be honest? I hate cycling. I don't like any of it. If you like it, if that's your jam, that's fine. A moose killed a man in Alaska because he was trying to photograph its calves. If you don't mean to pose a threat, don't ever even act like you're going to pose a threat to any kind of moose calves or baby bears or anything like that. Cubs, nothing. But a 7-year-old Alaska man, he was trying to take photos of two newborn moose calves. He was attacked and killed by their mother on Sunday. He was from Homer, Alaska, according to Alaska Department of Public Safety. They said that he was looking, he found them, and the mama moose was none too happy because she thought it was threatening behavior. 706 people named Kyle got together in Texas, but it wasn't enough for a world record. They were trying to set a record. But apparently, and the crown is in Bosnia, they got 2,325 people named Ivan together in 2017. They were trying to get the same number, people with the same number of name, the largest number together in one spot.
My administration is working around the clock to free the remaining hostages, just as we have freed hostages already. And here with us today is Hirsch Goldberg Poland, and still, he is not here with us, but he's still being held by Hamas. And Rachel and John are here with us. Stand up, guys.
Oh, my gosh. He had to correct himself after another really bad gaffe last night because he was at this Jewish heritage celebration at the White House. That's Joe Biden. And he was saying that one of the U.S. he named U.S. citizen, Hirsch Goldberg Poland. And he goes, oh, he's here with us today. Oh, wait, he's not here with us today. No, he's not, because he's literally being held hostage by Hamas in Gaza. So, oh, my gosh. That's so bad. Welcome back to the program. At least he invited one of the hostage families, right, to the White House because they've been ignored. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. It's good to be with you. Top of our second hour here, and you can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the radio program. You can catch us on X and Rumble and YouTube and Facebook and all of that. Channel 3047, DirecTV, all of that good stuff. And Goldberg Poland is a dual citizen. So he's one of, I think it's like 5 or 6 Americans that are still held by Hamas in Gaza. And I don't know when the last time that they had proof of life for him. I think it was something like at the beginning of the year. For some of these other hostages, there hasn't been anything offered in terms of proof of life. At least I guess that he finally said the name of one of them. They said more about Mike Brown yesterday than they said about these hostages ever. We'll talk more about the Brown thing as well coming up. Speaking of the Bidens, are you guys ready for a soap opera to end all soap operas? When I was younger, my grandmother used to watch what she called were her stories. Those were the, are they still on? The soap operas? Are they still on? Or is it just like been replaced by reality TV now? They used to have like the daytime soap operas. And I feel like my kids would not have any idea what those are. But my grandmother used to watch them. My grandmother and my older cousins watched them. growing up. They watched Days of Our Lives. And then the one that I thought was always hysterically named, The Bold and the Beautiful, because they were bold and also beautiful. It's just so goofy. And they were always these long, drawn-out things. And I just remember the bad guy in Days of Our Lives was Stefano. He was the ever-present bad guy. He was behind every bad plot. He was the worst, laziest plot device ever, but it worked. Anyway, it's about to take a new turn because it's like reality television, but it's going to be a daytime soap opera. Let me just explain this headline to you because it took me a minute to realize this wasn't the same person, that it was three different people, okay? Hunter Biden's ex-wife, baby mama, and sister-in-law turned lover to take the witness stand in his gun trial. So, you know, Hunter Biden has a trial coming up for the felony gun charges. These are the charges that he got because he told on himself. When he wrote his memoir, he wrote in his book that there was a period of time, and he gave literally the dates of when he was as high as a kite. And it just turns out that he also went and purchased a gun and filled out a form 4473, that's your background check form, at the exact same time that he said he was high as a kite in his book. And his defense was, well, he was on drugs. You can't trust that his dates are going to be right. I'm not even kidding you. Hands to sky. That was literally their attorney's defense. But I'm just, you know. So he's going to trial on these weapons charges. And it starts June 3rd. So, again, these are all three different people. It sounds like it could be one person, but it's not. Ex-wife, baby mama, and sister-in-law turned lover. Three separate people. So his ex-wife is going to be taking the witness stand. His sister-in-law turned lover is going to be taking the witness stand. And his baby mama, she's going to be taking the witness stand. And they're going to talk about how he was constantly, what has been described as here, his near constant drug use during that October 2018 period. When he admitted in his memoir that he was doing drugs daily, nonstop. And then he also just happened, the paperwork came out that that was the exact frame of time, exactly, that he went and filled out a form to go buy a gun. And as you know, maybe you don't know, but you should, on that 4473 form, that federal form, there's literally a question that asks if you're using drugs or you're a drug user. And he apparently said no on his form, which, in fact, in his memoir, he said, no, I was totally high as a kite on drugs. So this is, oh my gosh, this is going to be just crazy. And he did this interview where he was trying to say, and this is the other thing that floored me. So Daily Beast ran this story on Monday. Or no, sorry. It actually came out Sunday. They ran this story of him. And it says, Hunter Biden reveals why he's punching back at Fox News, right? And he did this interview, he did it Sunday, it was published Monday. He was trying to say that some of the photos of the drug use that were on his laptop were misleading. Now, the laptop in question is the one that he had left at that repair shop, that Mac guy. And at the repair shop, he had to sign a waiver saying if he didn't come back in 6 months to get his property, then it becomes the property of the computer shop owner. And he got mad because the Daily Beast had asked him, I'm not even making this up, you guys. I swear to you, this trial is going to be luscious. The Daily Beast had asked him, and again, this ran yesterday, about the crack pipe photo. You guys remember the photo of Biden, his laying in the bed, his head on a pillow, and he's got a glass pipe in his mouth, right? And they go, well, you know, they asked him about the crack pipe photo and he got mad at him. And he goes, that's not a crack pipe. That's a meth pipe. And then he tried to act like it was staged. Okay, so does that make a difference that you would get that mad? No, that's not a crack pipe. That's a meth pipe. Oh, sorry, Mr. Blow and Ho. I didn't know that. I honestly, if you had to quiz me on the difference between a crack pipe and a meth pipe, I literally would not know the difference. It's a glass pipe. This is where we don't know about the drugs here on the Dana Show. I don't know what makes it different. I don't know if it's such a grainy, like, clearly it's a drug pipe. A glass pipe in his mouth. But he said, no, that's not a crack pipe. It's a meth pipe. Oh, okay. So tell us about the meth pipe then, Daily Beast asked. Because apparently his ex-wife, in text messages that were found on this laptop, she was upset because she found, quote, a few crack pipes in the family car that their daughter was borrowing to drive, and she had to take them out. And she said that she, quote, found drugs or paraphernalia on approximately a dozen occasions, which she discarded in a trash can. And so he was upset because they asked him about the wrong drug of pipe, the wrong pipe that I don't know. I don't even know what to expect with this trial. But if it's anything like he was mad over the question from the Daily Beast, that's something else. No, it's not. It's a meth pipe. Good heavens. I couldn't tell the difference. Steve, I can't tell the difference. Can you tell the difference? Because I can't tell the difference in glass pipes. They look like drug pipes. That's all I know.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.